This morning we open the Word of God in the New Testament, in Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5, page 1162 in our Pew Bible, 1162. We read the verses 1 through 20. Ephesians 5, this is the word of God. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we take our focal point this morning in verse 14. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in our text, brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul quotes a song. Commentators think it's an Easter song, which the church members used in their outreach to Gentiles, to unbelievers in their neighborhood. Their neighbors were stuck in the death of sins. By the gospel, they would be awakened and become light in the life of Christ. In the context of this letter to the Ephesians, however, Paul is using it to address the members themselves. In his letter so far, Paul busied himself urging the Ephesians to break with sin and sinful practices. Now he is saying, the message I have for you is the same as what you have sung in your song to the Gentiles. Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Then you wonder how that has been received. Already, when you speak with outsiders and your words imply that they are dead in sin, they will be offended. In his letter, however, Paul is addressing the believers in the congregation themselves with these same words. In other words, Paul's concern has become evident that the Ephesians have fallen back in their old life. Or, as the Lord addresses them in his epistle, Revelation 2 verse 4, yet I hold this against you, you have forsaken your first love. Let's be clear on this, though, beloved. It's not that Paul questions the integrity of these Ephesian believers. On the contrary, he states in chapter 2, verse 1, speaking for himself and them, saying, but God made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. Yes, even in the words of 5 verse 8, just preceding our text, he writes, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So Paul knows about God's work in their life, God's covenant with their life. And yet, he calls them sleepers and dead. Why? Why does he apply that evangelism song to them? Well, first of all, to remind them of the terrible character of sin. The one who sins walks in darkness, give himself over to death. They know this from their past. They see that in their surroundings. Hence, they should also remember that for their present life and lifestyle. Why? Well, these works of death and darkness had a place in the congregation again. Lying, slander, rage, theft, immorality, greed occur among them. Just as they still often have a place in the New Testament congregation today. Hence, the church then and now, beloved, needed to be reminded of the position which the sinner has in this world, either within or outside the congregation. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's why Paul quotes this hymn. Repent and live as children of light. Sin is couching at the door all the time. At one time, they obtained their share in the resurrection of Christ, but then they should also live from Christ's resurrection. That's why Paul uses their own hymn for outreach to remind them. Practice what you preach, so to speak. Also, the congregation today will do well to listen to him. We may have celebrated the resurrection of Christ also through a series on 1 Corinthians 15, and we have seen its meaning portrayed in baptism last week with Romans 6 verse 8. And we may sing about it as we do, but our risen Lord wants to see us live of this resurrection and walk in its light. That's the message we will also have to take away from the celebration of the Lord's Supper next week. Don't just confess and believe what you have in Christ, but also show it in your life, in your lifestyle, and in your attitude that you wish to live in newness of life, laying aside all enmity, hatred, and envy, to live with your neighbor in true love and unity. In preparation for that celebration, let us listen to God's word. Church of Christ, be awake in the light of Christ. First of all, awake from the darkness of death. And secondly, awake in the light of life. So I summarize the message of our text as follows. Church of Christ, be awake in the light of Christ. Awake from the darkness of death, our first point. Awake in the light of life, our second point. So first of all, awake from the darkness of death. So let us first have a closer look at the context of our text, brothers and sisters. Then we will see that Paul does not focus on the lifestyle of the world in general. Paul has certain particular people in mind when he says in verse 6, let no one deceive you. Apparently, there is some empty talk going around by which certain people must be trying to lead other members in the wrong direction. Hence, Paul says in verse 7, therefore, do not be partners with them. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. This is a pertinent admonition with a view to certain people. Paul's objective with this admonition points at this too. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Then Paul points at some concrete aspects in their lifestyle. Sins against the seventh and eighth commandment, particularly. These sins may have been prevalent in the world, but apparently such a lifestyle was condoned or even promoted in the congregation. Well, from Romans 1, beloved, we have a clear impression of the moral climate in the world of the Roman Empire in those days. Egoism, covetousness, immorality, etc., characterized the main passions of those days. What else is new? People who turned to Christ had to break away from that. Or do they? Well, according to the apostolic admonition, true conversion means a complete turnabout, a true breakaway from this sinful lifestyle. And of course, that was not easy. Such a change has its consequences for the whole family, one's nearest relatives, acquaintances, and colleagues. Just imagine such a turnabout today. For the longest time, you have been living along with the trends of wild living, free sex, bar hopping, drug use, movie going, or you have lived to pursue material well-being with a covetous passion for more, for bigger, all the time. And then all of a sudden, one in the family changes around, doesn't participate anymore, turns his back to it, finds different acquaintances, circles, activities on Sunday and during the week. That would be quite something. But now, beloved, what does Paul hear about some in the congregation? And again, compare it with Christ's letter in Revelation 2 again. Apparently, there are some open or disguised libertines who, with some empty words, pursue a compromise. Perhaps they promote ideas about a guided confrontation with the world rather than a clear antithesis. You know, the familiar error that you may take the tasting approach rather than the testing approach. Like tasting the spirits instead of testing the spirits, which you should never do with poison and the like. Or perhaps they take the so-called realistic position approach. You are living today, so you have to look like, act like, and partake like people today. Or like others who have Christ for their soul, for the church, and for the future, and for the atonement of their sins. But otherwise, you can't go out of this world. You've got to make a living, and you have to know what your neighbor is doing type of philosophy. Hence, don't change your lifestyle too much. Does it sound familiar, beloved? Indeed, there is nothing new under the sun. It should not be too difficult to find examples that resemble Paul's concerns. Sins that are ignored today that pertain to the seventh and eighth commandment as well. And not just in the world, but also among so-called Christians, there is a shift in opinions about sexual orientation, same-sex lovers and the like. But also when we listen among the younger generation in churches, we hear of an easy and casual approach to premarital sex. They all do it. Or to family planning. Or we observe a continued materialism, living for cars, trucks, luxuries, and even take some gambling and lotteries with you. In connection to this, in our wedding parties as well, we need to include the practice of dancing. Then let's understand well that Paul is pointing at practices too that have become common among men. He doesn't speak of excesses, but of everyday pleasures that have become accepted in society. They have their strong attraction for church people too. And some among them worked hard to make participation acceptable too. Just the fact that Gentiles did not have faith and hope, forgiveness of sins and salvation, doesn't mean that they can't associate with them or share in their pleasures and luxuries. That's the kind of thinking Paul opposes here. You see, brothers and sisters, that throughout the passage, Paul explains that the line of division isn't drawn at the end of life, or at the end of history only, but that dividing line runs through life today in its various features. It creates not just a bit of a difference, but a difference like between day and night. Then Paul instructs the New Testament congregation that such a lifestyle does not mean isolation, but that it is a lifestyle determined by the will of God. Today as well. That's what determines the relationship between being married or not. That's the norm also you will have to hold up to your fellow workers or neighborhood friends. When they ask you to participate in lotteries or gambling, or urge you to try a joint or any kind of drug. The will of God dictates a different attitude towards your stewardship of money and possessions, toward pleasures and treasures in the world. Paul holds up a life that's lived by grace, that's lived without adultery, covetousness, without dumb talk and dirty joking, without addiction to drinking or drugs, as just a few examples reminding us of the life that's lived in darkness. Then we should not forget one thing, beloved, that those people with whom we have such a common front, such common pursuits, practices, and priorities, are unbelievers who are spiritually dead. No matter how nice, friendly, and sociable they may be, these people are a law to themselves and therefore being preserved for judgment. They are living in the night of death, while we have become children of light. And light is life. That life has come to us from him who was exalted as the reward for his humiliation, even unto death, who lives never to die again. We are the dead who were raised with Christ. On that basis, then, of that fact, the apostle repeats the call to life. Be awake in Christ. For time and again, we tend to sleep away in the sleep of death. Awakening can be a tough struggle sometimes. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, as the author of Proverbs 6, verse 10 puts it. Also, the sleep of death, which Paul has in mind, is as sweet for the flesh. Those who are called Christians, however, because they belong to Christ, cannot but be awake. They aren't children of the night, but of the day. That has concrete, practical consequences in the way you spend your time, in the places you find your pleasures, your interests, etc. You see, beloved, for a Christian lifestyle is not merely going to church on Sunday and attending Bible study society, but it involves a lot of activities, of interests, of endeavors in the fields of culture, arts, literature, public life, and social functions, in which the light of the life of Christ removes the darkness of the death of this world. Not the life of a Christian is dull and dead, but the existence of the world is dead. They are living dead. In spite of the fact that they breathe and busy themselves with their families, work, and careers, let us heed the apostolic admonition that we could so easily become surrounded by darkness and then slumber and fall asleep, dozing off with the mentality of this world. Let's not just sing with the mouth the praise of the risen Lord, but in our deeds also heed the word, be awake in the light of Christ. That is, awake and live. Our second point, awake in the light of life. So it is Christ himself, brothers and sisters, who appears in the preaching of the gospel. In the gospel of Christ, you are confronted with the promises of life. Christ redeems. He sets free from slavery. He obtained the power for it in his own struggle with the ruler of darkness, the prince of death. On the day of the resurrection, he showed himself as ruler of the new life. That was the beginning of a new day too, of a new life for those who believe in him. It is that gospel of the resurrection which was proclaimed by Peter on Pentecost, as we heard last week, and here among us as well, as was the rich message we could give along with those six young people. It's the gospel of a new breath of life in the midst of a polluted world. By faith, you receive the life awakening light and breath of life. Christ's radiance is warm, beneficial. It permeates our whole existence. The sleep goes, all darkness disappears, sins melt as wax before the sun, and the dead become alive. What a marvelous thing that is, beloved. It gives rise to a new zeal, new energies, new endeavors, and the life of a new day spreads throughout the world. That's the new life that was and is proclaimed in the midst of the world. Embrace Christ by faith and be united with Him and share in this new life. This message did not only go into this world, it also is for every new generation a word of life and appeal. You know, many people might tell you the contrary, perhaps. Outsiders may impress upon your feelings that all things in the church are so stale, stuffy, and stilted, while the world, there is fun and freedom, unrestricted pleasures. Well, time and again, however, you'll see young people and hear them profess that such people are dead wrong. Those who think the freedom and pleasures of the world are fun, they say, are ignorant, stupid, and slaves of their own foolishness. True joy and deep enjoyment can be found in the church only. True, clean fun is for those who know how to feast in the light of God's word. They learn to sing of life. They experience true joy in life, realizing what life is like in the presence of God, to the honor of God. They learned this from Christ's busyness in the things of the Father and receive it from the Spirit, instilling it into them. And of course, beloved, it doesn't take away that there are tensions, forces that try to spoil the joy. There is the constant threat of sin, and there are the limitations due to sin, which may hamper the joy sometimes. Once we have enjoyed the light of day, however, we can't stand the darkness of night any longer, and the temptations and trials make us even more to seek the guidance of the Spirit of Christ to help us live the life of Christ. You know, it's one of those topics we must discuss with our teenage children, as I mentioned last week, namely the mistaken notion that some people have that making profession of your faith means that from now on, from then on, you have to be serious and live differently, implying almost as if then the fun was over. What grand mistake that is. This newness of life and this joy in the light of life, we instill in our younger children already. And this matter of taking their covenant position seriously, we teach them in school and catechism class throughout their youth. What happens then is that the pleasure of life in the Lord will grow on them, will increase, deepen, and become a common reality to them. Of course, if right after their public profession of faith, these young people sink back into the sleep of night, their joy was just a moment of feeling good on the day, or of making their parents feel good, then it can be seen indeed that on the day of their profession of faith, they are dressed up like Roman Catholic 12-year-olds on their day of confirmation, soon after to see sloppiness and sleepiness to take over in their life. No, beloved, when we take the will of God seriously, which is the source of true life, and busy ourselves in all the things of the Father, then life will flourish. It's the beginning of eternal life on the new earth where righteousness will dwell. That's not a damper on life, but radiance over life, especially in the midst of the brokenness in this world with all the sorrow over sin and sickness. The Spirit of Christ will lead you into a new joy in life, including the comfort, support, harmony, and unity of the communion of saints. Well, you know, they are the people with whom you will live and associate forever on the new earth. And they all want to learn here and now already that spiritual life in communion with each other. In that life, all things have their own place and pleasures too, including sexual life and material pursuits, to stick to the matters adduced by Paul in this context. It all starts in the joyful service in the church and continues in the fulfilling Christian, God-centered life in society. Then from week to week, my brother and sister, also my younger brother and sister, the Spirit helps and trains in that service, directs and illumines with that light, so that we see it more and more clearly all the time, how to live in this life more and more meaningfully. Why should we then be so foolish as to fall back in what is past? Why should we despise the light of the gospel of Christ, depriving ourselves also of the promise of life? No, beloved, we must walk as wise, while returning to the darkness of death would be foolish. Would you want to deny the resurrection of our Lord and so lose the favor of God, the grace of our peace in Him? Brothers and sisters, sometimes you read on tombstones, awaiting a joyous resurrection in Christ. That is said about those who passed away. But should that not also be said of us who live in the light of the gospel of the resurrection, awake in the light of Christ, joyously awaiting the resurrection of the dead? Amen.